Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. I'm your host, Sabine M. And in today's episode, I'm actually not speaking with a CRE expert, but with my colleagues, Eva Forster, Corinne Rückstuhl, and Anna Whittlestone from our pre-sales and account teams at Locati. Hi, everyone. Today is a very special episode because I have three of my colleagues with me. And the reason for that being is that we just recently commissioned a study around data readiness in corporations. And these three colleagues are working with customers all the time and do have a lot of visibility across organizations. And I wanted to tap into their knowledge and experiences around it. So with me today are Eva Forster, Corinne Rückstuhl, and Anna Whittlestone. And I think it's best if they introduce themselves as well and share a bit of what their professional background is and in which industries they have worked before. So let's start with you, Corinne.
Thanks, Sabine. My professional background, actually before joining Locati, I was just pursuing a master's degree in innovation and technology. But before that, and also during, I've worked in consulting, not in the real estate industry, but more in the material engineering industry, as well as fast moving consumer goods. And I'm now a pre-sales engineer here at Locati.
Great. Anna?
I'm Anna, and I work as an account manager with our existing customers. And before joining Locati, I've mainly worked in the tech industry, mainly for sales businesses in sales and customer success management.
And Eva?
Yes, thanks. I'm Eva, and I studied back in the days electrical engineering, started then to program, configure, and test buildings in the building automation industry. Worked there also regarding digital twins and so on. Joined then Locati first as an IT project manager and now work as a lead pre-sales engineer at Locati.
So it seems, Eva, that you did work in the building industry before. I wasn't aware of that, actually. So it's great we're having this podcast conversation so that I get to know my colleagues. But were you, and it's a question that I'm going to ask Anna and Corinne as well, were you aware of the corporate real estate realm and the dynamics in there when you were in that building automation part?
I would say not at all. If someone would have asked me before, I just would have said corporate real estate is facility management. At least that was what I experienced. So when I did those testings and programming configurations of the buildings, you mainly worked with their project managers at their end and together with the facility services they had or have.
Yeah. Opening up to Corinne and Anna, did you have any clue about what corporate real estate is? And if you haven't, how did you go about learning about this part of the business world?
I actually didn't know anything about the industry. So I guess the only thing that I knew or the only touch point that I had was being an employee myself, working in like one of a big office building in Zurich. So that was actually it. But yeah, then working at Locati gave me like another perspective and makes me want to understand and like go and understand the profession, because at the end, we not only make corporate real estate managers' life easier, but really make the employees' work life a bit nicer. And this is what I've experienced in the past. And I hope that we can enable more of these like places where people love to work.
The only real estate experience I have is in commercial real estate for a job that I did on a temporary basis. So not really close to what we're doing now, but I would agree with Corinne. All the jobs I had before were about enabling a better work life for employees or more productivity.
That you've been new to that field, was there a learning or a surprise for you in it, approaching or being faced with it?
I mean, a surprise was, yes, that the corporate real estate field is totally internal. I mean, I wasn't aware of that, but they have interfaces to every other department. So they interact with finance, with HR, yeah, with sales and so on, because everyone in the end wants to have some space to work and they need to discuss, need to argue in which direction it goes. And yes, I wasn't aware that there are so many different interfaces to other departments that corporate real estate needs to deal on a daily basis.
I think the what you've mentioned, that it's internal, is a very good point, because a lot of the arguments and discussions happening are like getting internal stakeholders aligned. And I have to say, for me, when I still worked in corporate real estate, that was one of the points that I found sometimes tiring, that you were discussing things that for the company really didn't oftentimes make that big of a difference, because it didn't matter if like the finance department as an occupier paid for rent, or if I in the real estate department paid for rent, because it was in the end the company, but still we were negotiating lease contracts and these kind of things. Anna and Corinne, was there anything that came as a surprise for you?
I definitely agree with that internal thing. But for me, it was also a lot about, I just wasn't aware how much hidden potential or maybe untapped potential there is by using and building offices in a smart way. For me, this was kind of a surprise on like, I don't know, what service can you provide for employees? How much energy can you save? All these questions around like smart buildings that arise when suddenly you have this utilization data at hand, like what you can do with that. And I just wasn't aware of how much potential there is with that.
I think for me, what it was some of the most surprising is that there are quite strong regional differences when it comes to the maturity of how technology is adapted in the corporate real estate part. And the other thing is, what surprised me was some real estate departments and IT departments really don't get along that well with each other. That was quite surprising.
Yeah, that goes back to the internal fights that I've mentioned before. And you've actually quite nicely paved the way for the topic of data readiness and maturity. So coming back a bit to the study that we had commissioned with Forrester, we felt that there are different maturity levels of organizations that go back to the way they are equipped with data, technology, and people, or skills, basically, to handle insights, and more specifically, to handle workplace insights. And now I want to bring that to the more practical realm, because yes, we did find in the survey that, or in that study, that majority of organizations are in low or medium readiness, and only around 20% are actually at a high readiness stage. From your experience with customers, do you notice these organizational setup differences, this difference in maturity in corporate real estate as well?
Yeah, I think Anna already said it quite well. We do really see this difference when talking to customers. I think what we really see is how, like, even depending on the organization itself or on the region, how different their working culture is. So maybe some organization, they still rely on offices with assigned seats for each employee. And thus they have like this really traditional working model. But then we also have conversation with other customers where they might already have a hybrid working model that was in place before the pandemic even, and they're using this new modern working model with like hot desks, shared spaces, open areas, and really use the office now as a place to collaborate and work with each other and really be creative. So there's definitely this difference in the organizational setup. But I think besides that, also where we see a huge difference is how organization use their data and what kind of conversation we have depending on the use case. And I mean, the question is rather if they use any data to base their decisions on. So yeah, there's definitely a huge difference that we see.
Does that translate then into different priorities for these different organizations?
I would say yes, depending on, as Corinne explained quite nicely, where they are in their whole journey to a hybrid workplace. It really depends then what different use cases they're focusing on. So for example, if a customer already has an ABW workplace enabled more questions regarding employee satisfaction, how employees behave in the building, and so on, get much more important to the fact when a customer is still on a fixed work seat. There, they just want to get information about desk sharing ratio and to get more insights in this field. And it also makes a difference in the technologies they have enabled. So normally we have customers that still uses the classical data infrastructure setup. So this means they use Wi-Fi, they use LAN, Ethernet. And the more a customer goes into the direction of a hybrid work setup with ABW and so on, the more they transition into the direction that they use Wi-Fi only. If they go into an ABW implementation direction of their whole building, they use modern technologies like Wi-Fi only and so on. And they then are often also more interested in getting data and using the data differently.
And generally, what types of data are companies interested in to collect or planning to invest in?
If you ask that, normally you get the answer, the more data, the better. I'm not always sure if that's really true or if they just don't yet really know in detail what data they need for their different use cases. And I think there it's really important that we can help a customer during the journey to figure out which type of data is necessary for the different use cases, which granularity of the data is necessary, and based then on that to really solve and help them using the data successfully.
I think to add to Eva's point, it also really depends on what we said before and the maturity of the company. So if they already have a lot of data in place and have sensors, or they have people, or they have Loci, doesn't matter. But if they already have a sense of how the building is behaving and how the people are behaving in the office, then they tend to go towards more workplace experience topics like satisfaction rates and how are teams behaving within the office. And if they're a little less mature and they have no data at all, then usually they start at, okay, what's the occupancy of the building? And they don't start with how satisfied are my employees with this collaboration space. I think it also depends on that.
I think that's what we found in the study as well, exactly what you just said. And that generally the most interesting data to have for companies is employee satisfaction scores, very much top of the list, sustainability tracking, team mobility, and then office space usage and personal density still pops up. Are you in line with that? Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yes.
Everybody's nodding. It's a podcast. Nobody's seeing that. So I have to subtitle it. Now, I mean, to get data, you need to implement and use technology. When it comes to that implementation, what are organizations struggling with?
Yeah. So I think from my experience, what we really see is what organizations struggle with is to define a clear use case, what they want to achieve with the technology or the data, and really being aligned on this use case between the different stakeholders. And we especially see a big gap between the IT department and the corporate real estate department. These two are just very far away in most cases, and thus it makes it really hard to be aligned and really use the technology and the data in a way that makes sense for all stakeholders. But yeah, we also see different regions. I think the Nordics, but Anna has maybe more experience on that. The Nordics is also much more aligned and IT is working much, much closer to the business. And then use cases are like together with real estate and IT, together defined, together implemented. And that makes the struggle much less. And sometimes I also think that when you have bigger organization, the struggle is a lot with the change process behind it, because it's just, yeah, it's extremely hard to implement a big change and make employee aware of it as well. But it is something that is very crucial if you want to have a new technology implemented that is like adopted within the whole company and within like old employees. So this is definitely something that I see with big corporation, big organization where there is a lot of struggle as well.
So that was around technology implementation. And that is on the positive note that you got to the point where you were allowed to buy technology. Do you acknowledge some of the common blocking points before that comes? So for the adoption of new technology and the application of data?
Yes. So from a commercial perspective, what we usually see is what we said in the beginning, that corporate real estate and IT really, in a lot of places, haven't been working together for a long time before. So they first have to create this sort of collaboration or this set up a communication between each other and state that they would like some technology in their department and get the buy-in from the IT perspective. And then I think what it comes down to is a lot of internal communication and internal selling. From the real estate perspective, it is clear that you need technology to help you drive those decisions. But I think for a lot of other departments, it's not that clear. And a lot of other departments just fear that they lose space, that the real estate department is going to cut down on desks, for example. And I think that's the hardest part, to get the buy-in from other departments and stakeholders. And if I might add, on the financial side, there's two parts. Either you have the C-level that really sees the ROI of having technology in place that helps you measure how buildings are used, or you have the other side where they cannot see the ROI whatsoever, and then you have to get the financial buy-in as well. And some companies struggle with that as well.
Looking at the results from the study again, and it's very much what you've said, stakeholder collaboration comes in at the top of the list, then scalability of solutions, change management. So what Corinne said also, 45% of respondents noted that as a major challenge. Lack of in-house analytics skills came in, and then actually at the bottom of the list, with a third of respondents agreeing to that, was lack of funding and unclear ROI. And what I find actually interesting is that high readiness companies, so the companies that were defined by higher maturity, they are mostly facing scalability and implementation challenges, while the low readiness firms don't have the funding or actually don't know where to start. So that kind of goes back. I think one of you said it before, like they just want everything. I think it was you, Eva. They want all the data that they can get without really knowing what they would do with it, just because they're afraid of missing out on something. I think a lot of them might turn towards partners for help, which is legit. What are the requirements that you read or that you're confronted with to the technology vendors and partners?
There are different requirements in the end. One big issue or one big topic we are facing all the time is security and data privacy. Independently in which regard, if it's into the direction of implementation itself or just at the beginning, that we really need to outline and make sure how we can deliver data in this regards with being cautious of the whole data privacy guidelines, regulations, and then it's also different a bit in Europe than also compared to the US. And data privacy regulations that we face and where also partners need to be aware of really differs. So for example, in Europe, if you're fine in Germany, then you're fine in the whole world, more or less. They really have the strongest guidelines there, and you need to be cautious of them, need to take them into account. And what is important here, you need to help and support a customer or a partner through the whole process and really build the trust that whatever data they consume, it's still within the regulations.
Yeah, I'm supporting here with my statistics again, meeting security and privacy requirements. And those were two separate items. Both got 74% of respondents saying those were most important. Integration with other tools came next. And then interestingly, offering predictive analytics. And then meeting ESG requirements and working with any network infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, what maybe we can add here as well, it also differs, as I said before, between the countries, but also a bit between the maturity levels where the companies are. the bigger the company, the more they want to have the security proven in written. The smaller the company, the easier you can convince them in talks. So when there are concerns, it's much easier to get together the different stakeholders within a smaller company where you then can discuss together the concerns and find in that meeting a solution. Whereas for the bigger companies where they have much more processes and much more assessments they need to have filled out and need to be approved, it's more you go from assessment to assessment. And yes, you get the chance to also discuss and add explanations to it, but it's really hard to get every stakeholder involved into one of those meetings where you maybe within 1 hour could explain or answer a lot of questions. Yeah, it takes much more time in bigger organizations.
Always two sides to the medal. While organizationally they might be in a higher maturity with processes and guidebooks established, at the same time that makes things more difficult than when you can just, I'm putting that in quotation marks, go with the flow and just do things. Now we're coming actually to the end already, and there's one question that I always ask all the podcast guests, and I want to ask you as well. And the question is, if you could magically solve any, and I'm going to specify it here to organizational real estate problem, what would it be? And let's start the other way around, Eva.
Yeah, I would bring closer together IT and real estate. As I have a tech background, I think it would be nice if they would talk a bit more to each other. I know there are completely different backgrounds they're having, but sometimes for both sides, it would be much easier to be data ready a bit sooner.
Yeah. Just had a podcast guest from Logitech, and his wish was for, especially in terms of hybrid, have a translator between IT, real estate, and all the stakeholders on the table, because everybody's having different mindsets. I found that very interesting. And I mean, translator is a loose word here. It's not a literal translator.
Would be really lovely. And I think would help us at least in a lot of discussions.
Yeah. Okay, Anna, your wish?
Where should we start? I'm just kidding. I would second Eva's statement, the collaboration between IT and real estate, and maybe even go a little further and say my wish for other companies would be that they have a real estate technology roadmap, that they know exactly what they want to achieve and in turn what kind of technology is used to achieve that and when to bring it in, what kind of technology, so that they are ready, they know what they want to achieve. I think that would help us as well as them and as help them working together with IT.
Yeah, probably would give them a sense of control as well, because if you have a roadmap, you at least know where you're going. So good one. Corinne, you're the last one, last wish for today.
Yeah, I actually double plus the wishes from Eva and Anna, definitely for those. But I have another one, and this is because I'm just quite passionate about the topic. I would love to see the real estate department including more ESG goals to their strategy. So, for example, really using all the data technology that is available to make or to meet the sustainability goals. I don't know, using reducing food waste, knowing how many people are at the office so that you can ensure a smart lighting system, heating, ventilation. There's so much potential. And I would really would love to see that the real estate strategy would involve more ESG goals.
Okay, I'm going to add on to that wish. I would wish then for organizations to lower their return of invest or amortization goals for sustainability investments, because that's oftentimes what real estate then struggles with in terms of implementation, that they want to do the sustainable thing, but then it doesn't pay off in the right investment period. So thank you very much for sharing your insights with me and our audience. I'll let you go on with your days. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sabine.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on data readiness in CRE, along with the opportunity to assess your organization's workplace insight score. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.